You're buying and selling businesses or getting investors for your business, but you don't really hear about folks investing in podcasts or buying and selling them. But it can happen because I have AJ Lawrence on my show who bought Beyond Eight Figures podcast. He shares his experience, mistakes, and tips on buying and selling podcasts and what it takes to grow a successful podcast. So let's take a listen. So, hey, welcome to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. I'm your host, Lindsay Phillips of smoothbusinesspodcasting.com. My goal is to help you leverage podcasting to skyrocket your visibility, authority, and business by sharing insider secrets from podcast industry experts, including myself, who have created a successful business through podcasting. So let's dive in. Hey guys, I have AJ Lawrence here with me, an entrepreneur and the host of Beyond Eight Figures podcast. And what is unique about the conversation that we're about to have is actually buying and selling a podcast, which when I heard he did this, kind of blew my mind. Hey AJ, welcome to the show.
Lindsay, thank you so much. I am really excited to be on because in my own efforts to kind of grow Beyond Eight Figures, I recently found your podcast and I've been like gripping, you know, I have pages and pages of notes
from you
and your different guests. And I can't wait, to really, put a lot of this into play. But no, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. And so you buy and you acquired different businesses, build them, scale them. And so when I heard about buying a podcast, like I've never actually heard of it. I'm sure it's been done. How did that even come about for you?
All right. So I've built and sold three different digital services firms from the low seven to mid seven figures over the years. And then I had moved to Southern Spain about 6-7 years ago. And when COVID hit, Spain was a little bit different than the US. It was a hard lockdown. Mm-hmm. You could only leave for a few, not even an hour a day from your home. There was all sorts of restrictions, lots and lots of fun. And I was thinking of building a podcast from scratch, talking to other entrepreneurs who were sort of in the area I really found that I loved after I sold my agency. Was that mid seven figure, what I call the mid journey entrepreneur, because there's tons and tons of podcasts out there and tons of people working on like how to get your business started. It's like rubbing your sticks together really fast. But I made so many mistakes in my business as we grew that after I sold, and I got very, very lucky, we had gotten to almost eight figures. So this is why this kind of resonated with almost to eight figures. And then fell back down and I had to restructure and we kind of started growing again. And then someone came and privately said, hey, why don't we acquire you? We can do a, and I was like, take it, please. Here, it's wrapped.
Yeah.
Just take it away. But that learning afterwards, hindsight's a wonderful thing of like those transition points. There's this thing called crossing the chasm. The vast majority of businesses that get past $1 million actually fall back under and then have a higher rate of failure. So it's like you think by getting past $1 million, your business is going to be that much better. Oh my God, I have money. I don't have to worry about making payroll. Complexity sets in. Mm. And, I learned so much from that. So I really became fascinated about this space. So I was consulting as a fractional CMO advisor. I'm on a couple of boards of these, seven figure businesses. So when COVID hit and I really wanted to just find a way to continue talking with other entrepreneurs doing this, I was like, I'm going to start my podcast, start a podcast talking, whatever. And as I was talking to different production companies about doing this, one of them said, well, it's really funny you say that. I know someone who has a podcast that they really haven't been updating. It's their third podcast. So, does this, that's what they do. They do podcasts. Yeah. And, they're talking, everything has been about, how seven figure entrepreneurs can go beyond eight figures. So we ended up having a conversation back and forth about pricing and metrics. End of the day, it was more just like, so we'd be happy with this. Yeah, we started with a metric structure, but because there was, there had been some time where they hadn't been doing it, we realized their metrics weren't going to be, 100% relevant for us, mm-hmm. which we probably should have paid a little bit more attention to, because, in my viewing of it, it was like, well, okay, even if we don't keep, if we only keep 60% of what they have, we're going to be more than a year ahead of where we thought we would if we started right. from scratch. So we were like, okay, we're basically going to buy a year, as long as I'm paying less to do this, I decrease the amount of time it's going to take, and I'm going to spend less money to then build up the audience. We then had some mistakes in sort of the transferring. Domain names got lost, transfer some things got lost in the process, and it took us a few extra months to then even get going consistently. So we had a further drop in it, but then, which is silver lining, the previous owner was really much about like how cool, how much money you make when you build a business, and like how much, and like, we need to see your, we need to see some bank account. It was all very, very heavy on the numbers, where maybe because I have gotten close but never crossed over, I'm not as interested in the money per se as right. what it means as an entrepreneur to aspire to building a successful business. Because I've done this a few times. And over time, what we found was we went from when we took it over, and you know the different stats, like you get some weird podcast, sometimes you can find some good stuff, but it's never consistent. We had a 20 something, 90% male base, low income, not even full, it was less than half college educated, to within a year and a half after taking over. We were 60-40 male female. Over 80% was college educated or higher, degree, with sort of a net worth, or sorry, a thing of over 250K. So we were like, okay, I think we've positioned this to business owners, versus wannabes. So it went from, oh, I want, aspirational to, well, what am I doing with my own journey as an entrepreneur? So that, it was cool. I mean, but like I said, we made so many mistakes in not having, and this is kind of even going through some of your podcasts where you and your guests talk about building the plans to kind of do that. We just kind of, oh, okay, we have this. Oh, we have some stuff going on. It'll be fine. Yeah. Silver lining with time and elbow grease. It did work out. And we have increased, we're now at a higher rate and a higher listenership than previous owners, but it took a lot of time.
Yeah.
It took a lot of like, what are we doing here?
Learning curve. And I think too, taking that time to understand the audience, that is huge data. Because if you kept doing the same thing all the time, what the previous person did, you wouldn't be attracting the right people for your business.
And so, I think some of it, no, I agree, but there's a period of time, and especially when you're trying to define your audience, and you just have to talk to what you believe your audience is. And the good thing is I've been working and talking with that, but like a good period of time was, okay, since I've been in this space, these are the type of people I think are going to be useful. So like, yes, over time we did start, creating more feedback loops, bringing in understanding, oh, you really do want more actionable, you do want more this. Okay, great. Things maybe were a little bit like, okay, we should have done this. But we did spend, I think, to get that transition from wannabe entrepreneur to the mid-journey entrepreneur, we had to go out, and when I say we, it's, I have a really great production team that we kind of like I said, we first started with outsource. I first started with outsource, but then little by little, I just built a team, and we now have a very good, very capable team. But yeah, it really, like, we had to just consistently say, these are the things we believe in. These are the type of things we think are worthwhile. And then I think we found just that little bit of an audience that was like, yeah, yeah, that's right. But you can kind of be better at doing that. And then we could kind of start creating that feedback loop.
Yeah. And good for you for making it your own, because you do want it, A, to fit your own goals and your own mission and your own passion. So good for you for seeing that vision through. So then how do you know, like, hey, AJ, should I buy a podcast? Like, when do you feel like that is the right move for you to make?
Well, one of the things I have found interesting is, over the past year and a half, there's been sort of the unbundling of different chat, you know, different platforms, different things where you can buy and sell. I really have not, as an independent sort of audience development method, seen many podcasts for sale. That doesn't mean they're not there. I've seen, like, there are businesses that help you buy newsletters. There are businesses that help you buy Instagram, TikTok accounts, Facebook groups, even though they're really unofficially non-transferable.
Right.
They exist. For podcasts, what I've seen, though, is existing businesses. So if you start, if you're looking for a pure podcast, I think you have to go the outreach, you know, the direct outreach, where you're just contacting podcast hosts in your genre. What I have seen, and we've looked at doing in the past when we've looked at maybe expanding into some other areas, is look for ones that are either sparse or haven't been regularly updated. There is the trade-off, though, that, you know, as I learned, the audience may not be that strong, even if the numbers are there.
Yeah.
Just like if you're not engaging. But what you can do is, you know, and I'm pulling blank, but you've talked about the different directories for podcasts and stuff like that. You can go through and just develop a list and start doing outreach and just asking. If you really want to kind of look at it, I would start looking first, if you want to figure out pricing and structure, is go look at, and it's a lot easy and pretty public, the breakdown of how people are evaluating newsletters. Because one, a lot of podcasts will have newsletters, but you can kind of use that as a basis of, like, okay, if a subscriber is worth X, a podcast listener is worth, all right, maybe a little more engagement versus, you know, a newsletter, because click and open rates and all that. You can kind of at least start building that pricing model.
Yeah.
By looking there and then looking at what a podcast may have, like, okay, what is their 7-day, and treat the 7-day as truly engaged, and then kind of drop it off later as, okay, lightly engaged. Do they have other channels? Do they have things like that? But that said, since I am looking to acquire a business, I've been talking to a lot of business owners who are looking to sell. One thing I have found is a lot of businesses have put together business podcasts, and you know them. They're not very targeted. They're not this, but they are, you know, they maybe have funneled everything, their client list, their outreach list, everything into them. And I've seen some that have, even though they're not really engaging, they do have some decent numbers to them. And so it's like, okay, yes, if you are looking purely at a podcast thing, this may not be the angle, but if you are looking at, you know, adding to your business an acquisition pathway of acquiring a business that also have a podcast, and you can kind of position it or use it to then drive ongoing business for, you know, the business you're looking at, and just use resources like you talk about to actually grow it. I think, you know, would be very useful. And those are there. I've even seen one, and I'm pulling a complete blank, but I've seen there's this one guy who has tons of courses, and he teaches you how to, you know, how to have passive income, you know, get rich, not get rich quick, but
yeah,
that
how to grow your bit,
genre.
yeah.
Yeah. And insane numbers, 40,000 downloads a week, you know,
Oh,
or per
wow.
episode, huge YouTube channel, social, you know, really totally engaged show, social, but everything was his personal brand
Yeah.
to then everything. So he was looking for very, very high multiple, like typical business is going 3 to 5x, let's just say. I mean, there's all sorts of variations in there. He was looking for this super high, you know, for much higher than that. And all the discussions I was seeing around it was, well, you know, it's so branded to him. Anyone who buys it is only going to capture a fraction of the value.
Because they're all there for the guy, or
or they're familiar with the guy. So it's like you have to either be willing to have everything change, and lose, as I, and thinking I was only going to lose 30-40% and still be successful, we ended up losing 80% before we rebuilt.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, it's like the numbers, the numbers, you have to come back to them. So sorry, short answer is, if you are really interested in acquiring, there are a few things and you can kind of search, but it's not very prevalent and I don't hear often. What I would suggest is just do some outreach lightly and kind of look at it as, how long would it take you to build a similar audience? And does it talk to something you have available right away to service, like a course, company that you're servicing this, products, whatever it may be, and then look at the numbers that way. But yeah, it's still not there. There's not a marketplace where there are podcasts per se. So,
which kind of surprises me, because when you think about all the advertising that is out there and people, your sponsorships, like there it is a small pool of podcasts though that are making a crap ton of money from the podcast by itself. But yeah, I would have thought I would have seen more of it. Now let me ask you this. So when you switched, because an audience is like, they're used to that host, right? And their style and so forth. How do you transition successfully so that the audience is buying into like the new host and the new format, so to speak?
We did two things. We did a couple episodes with the past host. One, the past host introducing me.
Oh, smart.
And then one where I interviewed the past host. The biggest mistake was, and anyone who's in a podcast, it really takes about 100, times before you actually sound like a in your own ears, that you sound like a human being. Because I had done public speaking, I pitched to clients all the time, but I had only been a guest on a podcast a few times when I did this, and I was stilted. I was this, I didn't have good answers to the why. I was very general, it was like, okay, that, you would do a transition where, okay, guest interviews you, you interview the guest.
Yeah.
We also then created a plan where the first 20 guests we had were past guests, and we went through sort of the stats and we specifically targeted their top previous guests with the highest stats, the highest things, largest social, to re-interview them. Like, oh, it's been 2 years, or it's been a year since you were last on the show. What's new? How are things going? And, so we started, I think our first couple episodes, we were not quite copying them, but close. And then within a few, I was like, yeah, you know what? I really want to just talk about, how you dealt with the issues there, not just that. Please tell us how you became a billionaire.
Not just the journey, but you want people to have takeaways.
Yeah. So we kind of transitioned slowly as that, but it was using those past guests And that was nice because that gave us a base. They were familiar with it. And we also very quickly were figuring out, okay, of these guests, yes, the very big course and multi-tier thing just wasn't our cup of tea. You know,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, wasn't, yeah, the, what I liked, what my team was liking. We also found our, the diversity of the past, yeah, it was very tech bro-y, yeah, kind of focus. And I was like, all right, we want to do, you know, we want to hear more voices of women. We want to, right, you know, and not just saying female entrepreneur, but just entrepreneurs. We, yeah, wanted people from different parts of the world because it was very California based. It was very, you know,
interesting.
So we wanted to kind of expand that, but it did help to have those 20 there. Yeah, it was like, okay, by the 10th time, you know, 10th episode, I was like, all right, you know what? I know some people I'm going to pull in. Oh, you know, I just heard this person. Let me reach out to them. And we started being able to then bring in other guests that kind of continue on the path of, okay, we have the past guests, you know, recaps and, yeah, you know, oh, this. So it just helped us kind of get going by having, you know, the transition episodes, then the past guests to then, okay, this is where we're really wanting to talk about. So it, like, helped.
So if you had to do it over again, AJ,
yes,
would you have bought it?
The biggest thing was not the podcast, because yes, some of the issues of the podcast, yes, I would have, you know, small changes would have had large, yeah, impacts. I think because I was using it as a very more exploratory instead of a specific thing, it was in that period of time, and part of the reason why I thought it was so cool to buy it, that I started exploring the concept of acquiring a company. I didn't really get active for another year, but it, you know, I started doing research, and it was that. I think I would have looked, with hindsight, I would have had a more specific goal in mind for the podcast, other than to talk with other entrepreneurs and, yeah, then eventually build something. My joke has been a lot of times since I've moved, since selling my agency. And, you know, most of my agency work, we were large global Fortune 500 types. I've really been trying to focus on the mid-journey entrepreneur, you know, self-funded businesses sort of in that seven-figure range. So to me, the podcast was going to be part of a flywheel. You know, I was going to, you know, work on my Twitter. I was going to, you know, partner. I was going to do things and then buy an agency or some sort of marketing services that would talk to that. Sorry, I'm making hand gestures underneath the camera so you guys can't see. With the idea that, like, okay, audience development services, being able to do advisory work because I'm on boards and stuff, and all just kind of have each feed each other.
Yep.
I would have tightened that time frame,
yeah,
a little bit more, because at first it was just like, hey, I want to talk to you guys, you know, I just want to put it on a show. Then it kind of was like, oh, that's right, I can use this. And really did start first with the guest getting, you know, realizing, oh, there are business deals, there are relationships, there are events, access to things, you know, even investment opportunities that kind of came by targeting the right type of guests, you know, which, you know, repeatedly people talk about, you know, targeting your client, your ideal client type, and not pitching them, but like talking and learning about the thing. What I found was, at first I kind of backed in, like, oh, if I can find the right, I can find ways to build relationships with these people,
yeah,
as fellow entrepreneurs and sort of, you know, the quirkier, yeah, self-funded entrepreneurs. And then, you know, that was nice. But then as I started getting more serious about my acquisition of a company effort, I was finding great resources, both for introductions to potential leads, I've had a lot of companies come through that way. No, I haven't bought any companies, but at least gotten to have some good conversations and some good looks from past guests making introductions, but also my due diligence and the company I use for due diligence was an introduction from a past guest. And now the guy who runs the due diligence has become a good friend and has been on the podcast a few times, you know, so resources. And just, I have a few of the guests who, since they've done this multiple times, are sort of ad hoc advisors to my own efforts and kind of giving me feedback on deal structure and all that. So it was like, okay, yes, that helped as we moved it. Then what I liked was the podcast gave us the ability, as we were looking and getting closer with different clients, I could either bring on guests on subjects related to what the companies I would thought I was going to be buying were dealing with, or I could be asking questions to the audience on other channels. Like, it really did help me, like, just as a quick aside, promoting the podcast purely on Twitter or X or whatever. We didn't get much engagement, but when I started talking about my efforts as a host, I started growing rapidly after kind of not having much. It's like, oh, I've doubled in less than a year because, you know, I talk about the podcast. I don't just pitch the podcast.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's like, okay, the podcast gave me something to talk about that people still relatively little, but still enough people are interested about, which then gave me the opportunity to say, okay, hey, what do you think about your reputation? How much, you know, like, I did look at this one reputation SEO shop. I just got outbid by a private equity company, but it was great because I could use the podcast audience who would be, you know, the type of buyers and start getting feedback of like, oh, they're not, you know, some people only think about it when something bad happens. So you have to be like, you have to have the channels that are very action oriented there. But a lot of them were thinking about, well, how over time and how to position themselves and what were the worries about it and what they didn't understand. They were, you know, were they curious? This, so it's like, oh, okay, I see. I could kind of start talking about these things and get a new audience. Yeah. So just customer development of a, you know, potential business. If you have your own business, yes, you can use your audience to better understand your audience, better understand your customer avatar. That's but true. I was able to use the show to kind of get even further on potential acquisitions and like, oh, okay, do I see an upside? Is there a way to go further?
Yeah.
And that was fun.
It's so weird how there are ways that you can benefit what you don't even, it's not even on your radar at the beginning.
Yes.
Like, I bet when you started, you had no clue that it would help you in this way to gain different acquisitions, those relationships, understanding your avatar, what it, getting that feedback loop, as you mentioned. It's like all those soft things, no one really talks about that stuff. It's all about like the downloads and the leads and the analytics. And
and I think almost, and what I do like, especially like the way you position it, almost everyone I up and, you know, it's getting a little diversified, but definitely a few years ago, it was all about the race to build your own community. You know, it was like, sell your own course and have a community. And yes, having your own digital course, your own sort of thing and your own community, those are very good things. But I think sometimes, you know, looking at the other value, because those require a very specific type of feeding for audience development, you know, for customer development there, type of targeting and type of extra sort of support to make it worthwhile. While, you know, depending on where you are in your journey, being able to develop better relationships. Like, I know, like, one of the company boards I got was an introduction, you know, and then the company went public. So it was like, you know, that came straight because, you know, little violin here, but like that became because they were like, okay, you have a bit of a name. And I'm like, okay, yay, thank you. You know, yeah, it's like, I joked recently. I got some. It's not Apple that does it, but maybe it is. But like, you know, when you get the weekly, like you are here on the different charts,
Right.
and we're like, you're number one in business podcasts in the Bahamas, and it was just one day, and then we fell out of the top 10 the next day, and I was just like, all right. We got the Bahamas, Virgin Islands are next. You know, I was like, I just was like, this is so cool. I mean, it's
It is
silly,
neat. It makes you feel like what
but
you're doing, it validates,
yeah.
but those kinds of rankings and reviews and numbers, they can kind of drive you crazy after a while. You can
They
kind of
are
get caught up in it.
because the what people think about are some of these really big, huge ones, the Rogans and all that. And there are like, look, the real top 100 of like business podcasts and even the sub niches within it, they are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of, first 7 day listens. And, you kind of feel like you have to compete there, where there is this whole opportunity to develop a very good value prop around having this to go after a targeted niche, build better relationships, gain better relationships to then develop in whatever your business structure may be. And I
Agreed.
think that's what people kind of miss in that, like, oh, we have to be big. It's like, look, the reality is very few people are, and if you're, it's a very, it's a dangerous thing to go chase after, some of the big ones.
Agreed. So after this experience and now having grown the podcast and it be successful, what would you say for a new person that is starting a podcast, acquiring a podcast? What would you say are two of your biggest success tips that you could give them?
I think the biggest thing is, success is incredibly relative. So first, just define what you're doing and the reason why you're doing the podcast. I talk about, in interviewing now close to 200 entrepreneurs, it's the effort to get into your why. Because for most people, understanding your why kind of feels like, okay, I write a paragraph or two and that's supposed to be something, or some high price, oh, we'll shake some things around and you'll have all the answers. It's like, it doesn't. But putting that effort in to define why you're doing it and then continuously work towards it, that ongoing effort, as I call it, incremental progress, directionally correct. I had an old business coach constantly just say, it doesn't matter if it's a success or not. It's just incremental, directionally correct. And it's like focusing on that why and then building into that why. Or, since I just did a yoga this morning because I'm becoming an old man, and I'm like, can I get my hand up here? And I'm like leaning down, and but the yoga master, she was just like, look, it's not about doing a full-on blah, 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 crow, all
So
that.
true.
Just moving a little bit more. And it's like, okay, great. In doing it, I can now more easily touch my toes. I can kind of do a back bridge. I can do a little more. So podcasting, understand your why, do this, and give yourself at least, even if you throw them away, and I've introduced a lot of people to this concept, do 10 or so episodes before you launch. And just get it, because your voice is going to sound so weird to yourself. It just is like, I don't sound like that.
I
That's
know.
not me.
It takes a bit to kind of feel your groove or like get into a rhythm and sound like a normal human being.
And then, also what's nice about 10, and it's probably more like towards 30, is, it's not until you get into a rhythm where you're doing it, on a weekly, if not multiple times throughout a week, where all of a sudden you're like, Oh, okay. I can kind of do this. Yeah, the imposter syndrome is so hard. Yeah, so understanding why you're doing it and not beating people over the head, but just moving yourself little by little into it, practicing, getting those pre-reps in either early episodes or just not expecting anything then, or just using them just to hear your voice. And then, yeah, just consistency. Those, I mean, there's so much more tactical that I love so much in your show. Like, I was like, oh God, buying that. No, that's, yeah, we've looked at that ad hoc, like, but you know what? Let's do this. But the foundation is you just got to get comfortable with what you're doing and have a purpose for it. And
I
I
love
think that will
that.
take you so much further along.
That's so true. And again, it's all those non-logistical, technical things that I feel like they matter and they should be weaved into the strategy because we are human and emotional and communicative and all those kind of those things just matter.
Yeah. And little by little. So yeah, I am, look, the tactical stuff is really cool. And you can geek out. But what I'm looking for, if you are interested in getting to that, Lindsay's going to be coming on my show soon. And we will geek out more about how entrepreneurs can use podcasts more specifically to help them on their journey. So I'm just going to throw, yeah, I'm just going to
Yeah, absolutely.
spin
We'll
the
give a
table
little
on you.
teaser.
Yeah. We're going to spin the table and have you teach us how to actually use this.
I love that. And of course, just quickly, briefly share what you do to help people along this journey and then how to find your podcast.
Okay. BeyondEightFigures.com. Sign up for our newsletter. Subscribe on all your favorite podcast listening platforms. What I do as I am looking to acquire a marketing services firm. So if you have one and you're interested, please, reach out. You can reach out through the podcast and you'll find all my personal stuff there too. But I advise and I help other entrepreneurs, in this journey in this space. Just understand if their marketing and sales efforts are aligned with what they're trying to do as an entrepreneur. Do you even have the right goals? Do you have the right analytics in place, the right measurement tools and ways of measuring that you're achieving the goals you want for the business? Do you have the right resources? Are they trained right? The right understanding of feedback, like, oh, this happened. What does that mean? We do this. I just help businesses and entrepreneurs set their foundation and then either help them grow their teams or go find the right partners to help them go off. I'm not trying to be your agency or anything, maybe down the road after I acquire something, more just that you have the right stuff and are you going the right direction that aligns with what you want to be doing as an entrepreneur?
Love it.
That's it.
Awesome. And of course, they can go to you, Beyond Eight Figures website to learn more about how to work with you and get to know you better. And
Yeah.
yeah, I appreciate your insight. It's such an interesting thought about selling, buying, acquiring podcasts. And I think really as the industry grows and more businesses are monetizing and sponsoring
Yes.
and branded podcasts are becoming more and more prevalent. So I think maybe there will be more bought and sold in the future.
And maybe someone who already has a great business around helping other people grow their podcasts could create a marketplace. Just gonna, just because you're probably not busy enough.
Sure, AJ.
Come on.
I'll
I'll give
just
you my
refer them to
money.
you. How's that?
No, please don't. I have other
I
goals
know
in
I'm
my
teasing
life.
you. Well,
But
thanks
no.
again for coming on your show. And yeah, you've learned so many lessons along the way. And kudos to you for sticking true with your mission and your why and making the podcast your own and crushing it.
Thank you. And look, I can't wait to explore more about, when you come on the show, but like this is so much fun because it is such an opportunity to learn how to improve and do so much more. So thank you so much for having me on the show. Yeah. I really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right, folks. So until next week, I appreciate you listening to the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Ciao. And that is a wrap for this episode of the Leverage Your Podcast Show. Your next step, head to leverageyourpodcastshow.com to listen to more episodes to get more insider secrets. And if you want to leverage your podcast for higher ROI, then get my free podcast leverage system training at leverageyourpodcast.com/free.